O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you at work and at home, at church and at play, with friends and family, in meetings and in solitude, in every situation, all the time. Amen. Some of us here today have come out of faith traditions that included the practice of an altar call. If you are a cradle Episcopalian, this may be a somewhat foreign concept to you. there are enough of us who are Baptist in our background. As I remember it, the altar call was a part of the worship service, generally after the sermon and just before the close of the service. The congregation would sing a very quiet hymn, like Just As I Am, several times over, and anyone who wanted to come down to the altar to profess his or her faith could do so. It was a quiet time of prayer where, surrounded by supportive members of the congregation and a welcoming pastor down front, you could almost hear Jesus himself say, "Come unto me." Now, what we hear from Jesus in today's gospel sounds a little different. In fact, when I first read today's reading from Luke with the idea of preaching on it, the closest reference that came to my mind was HBO's Game of Thrones. If you haven't watched this very popular TV series, I will say that it includes a lot of fighting between family dynasties, a lot of fighting within family dynasties, and generally speaking, a lot of fighting, especially on the battlefield. There are some very noble heroes and some very dastardly villains, but they all have in common exactly what Jesus describes in this passage. Faced with waging war against a strong foe, these characters consider carefully whether or not they have the means to defeat the enemy. If not, they look for allies. They will send a delegation and look for terms of peace. They look at their resources, weigh the cost that may be required of them, and then take action. So what does counting the cost have to do for us in terms of what we would normally think of as stepping out in faith? What does it have to do with becoming not just believers or followers, but disciples of Jesus? It's important to remember that this passage was directed to a large crowd that was following Jesus and not specifically to his inner circle of disciples. It's probably safe to assume that many of the folks who were there were curiosity seekers, onlookers who were there mainly to see what sort of miracle Jesus might do next. These were people who might have liked Jesus on Facebook, but they weren't really prepared to follow him in the true sense of the word. Jesus turns to the crowd, and he says this curious thing about hating father, mother, wife, children, and even life itself. And how are we to interpret that? First of all, we can consider this a use of hyperbole or an exaggeration. This is not the only time that Jesus makes some pretty broad statements that we don't generally take literally. For example, if you consider the admonition to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand if either causes you to sin, we don't usually take that scripture literally. Also, the word translated here as hate is a Semitic expression meaning to turn away from or detach oneself from. It's used also in the book of Genesis, in the story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah. We're told that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, and then we're told that he hated Leah, the bride that he was tricked into marrying. The same word that's translated as hate doesn't carry the extreme animosity that we associate with it. Rather, in Jacob's case, he turned away from loving Leah and loved her less than Rachel. So What Jesus says in today's passage in Luke is alternatively stated in Matthew in chapter 10, where he says, "Whoever loves father or mother or any other family member more than me is not worthy of me." If this passage still sounds a little shocking to us, think about how the crowd around Jesus would have interpreted it. Remember that in Jesus' day, your family ties defined your personal identity. Being part of a Jewish family gave you status, provided your salvation, and offered security. Think about how shocking it must have been for the crowd to have Jesus state that dependence on God must be primary, even over the most basic of human connections, family ties. So choose wisely. Where is your ultimate commitment? What does it mean then to carry the cross and follow Jesus? Again, probably not the way we typically use the expression today. Today, if we say, "Well, that's a cross I have to bear," we're often referring to burdens that have been involuntarily placed upon us. And sometimes we even use that expression to talk about inconveniences, daily kind of minor irritations that are, it's a little different than bearing a cross. Even Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus, had cross-bearing forced upon him. As followers of Jesus, as disciples, are we willing to pick up the cross and endure exposure to risk, ridicule, even extreme suffering for what we believe? Which brings us back to the tower builder and the Game of Thrones king. Both the builder and the king must be careful that they do not commit to action without having counted the cost. Both may discover that they don't have the resources they need to accomplish their goal. The builder, if he's not able to finish his project, ends in public ridicule and shame. The king risks loss of his troops and surrender to a stronger opponent, and probably death. Both characters need to reflect before they act. The price of action is high, the risks are great. Choose wisely, choose purposefully. In terms of discipleship, we also know the one who succeeds is the one who chooses wisely and purposefully, one who at least has some idea of what he is getting himself into. But we also know that the cost is high and the sacrifice great, and that that person will ultimately come to the realization that on his own, he does not have all of the resources he needs. When Jesus talks about giving away all your possessions, maybe this is what he's talking about. None of the possessions you own, none of the resources you have, will bring you success on this battlefield. Might as well give them up as to count on them for any guarantee of strength and security. I think choosing the path of discipleship, picking up the cross, might be compared to other life-changing decisions that we face: getting married, having a child, committing to a vocation. We are drawn to something beyond ourselves, something that demands all that we have to offer. It is important that we think carefully about what we're getting into, that we choose wisely, but at some point, usually after we've started on the new path, we realize that we do not carry the resources to succeed on our own. We're called to something more, something beyond ourselves. The call to discipleship is a call to someone beyond ourselves. And when we answer the call, we will find all that we need for whatever the road ahead may bring. Amen.